Welcome to Directly Speaking, a direct-to-consumer marketers podcast. Our podcast features marketing leaders in the direct-to-consumer and e-commerce space. We get to learn about their brands and the stories behind them, compare notes and trends and challenges in the industry, and hopefully get to know a little bit about them personally. I'm your host, Marcus Lancaster, head of direct-to-consumer strategy at Quad. And I'm really thrilled to share that today's guest is Amber Minson of the iconic brand Blue Apron. For the five of you around out there that don't know who Blue Apron is, it's the original meal kit in the United States, offering chef design recipes that empower home cooks to embrace their culinary curiosity and make it easier for them to regularly enjoy home cooked meals. Amber is a marketing and business leader with over 20 years of experience working with such great brands as Intuit, Home Shopping Network, Craftsy, Time Warner, and Alibaba. And she's currently Blue Apron's chief revenue officer, having joined the company in October 22 as their chief marketing officer. Amber, I am so thrilled to be talking to you today. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks so much for having me, Marcus.
So I probably short-circuited the Blue Apron story there in that introduction. So let's just start there. What can you share with our listeners about Blue Apron, and what's the story behind the brand? And, just help us out.
Blue Apron, as you mentioned, is kind of an iconic brand that was the defining brand in the meal kit category. And Blue Apron literally created the category 11 years ago. Blue Apron is completely dedicated to helping people to discover their joy of cooking and have a better life through better food in the comfort of their own home. Our culinary team of culinary leaders and chefs are constantly creating new recipes in our test kitchens for our customers to enjoy. And I have to say, one of my favorite things about my job is when I have the tough day at the office where I have to go to the kitchen and get fed by a team of eight chefs for hours on end. You have to try this.
Brutal.
This. It's really, really a benefit of the job. Gonna say, it was a good day at the office.
That's fantastic. Well, that's one of the things that I think has been a hallmark of your brand. Everyone whom I know that's ever had a chance to be a customer has always raved about the quality of the food. Tell us how you go about finding that talent to build out your offering.
So Blue Apron has long had a focus on quality. That goes end to end through the entire customer experience. That is everything from our procurement and sourcing team thinking deeply about how we go and source the best quality ingredients, whether that's working with, you know, your local farmers or your bespoke providers of honey, all the way through to the highest quality proteins. And we really then weave that completely through the customer journey so that the recipes themselves are also of the highest quality. So every single meal that we ship to people's homes for them to cook is deeply rated and reviewed. And so we are constantly listening. This is a recurring theme, certainly in today's marketing world, listening to customer feedback. We want to ensure that that meal is meeting their needs. That can be everything from listening posts around prep time. That can be listening posts around flavor profiles. Is it too spicy? Is it needing a little more of citrus? Whatever those points of feedback are, we are constantly refining and learning. And when you have tens of thousands of recipes, that gives you a lot of learning opportunities.
Well, that leads to a good question, because I thought about it a little bit more since we spoke a week or so ago. One of the questions that I have is about data, because I know you're an obsessively data-focused company, but it's got to be real challenging to match up those 10,000 recipes with your customers. How do you do it?
So as you mentioned, data is really, in today's world, an incredibly important asset. And of course, the ongoing challenge that all of us have with scale businesses is that you often have more data than you can synthesize and process. And it's not just about having more data, it's actually identifying what are the critical points that really matter to providing the best possible customer experience and driving the business forward. So when we think about it from, let's say, what is important to that customer to have in their box? What do they really want in their meal? That begins at the very initial stages of the journey, whether that is what recipes were you searching for on Google, all the way through to the very first questions that we ask you when you start to sign up for Blue Apron is, what are your food preferences? Are you solving for, you want to have fast and easy meals? You want to have meals that are intended for the entire family. So 4-5 portions, 4-5 peoples included in that. Or that could be that I really like Caribbean food and I want to have meals that are Caribbean flavor profiles. Those are all points of feedback that we get from the customer up to and including, what day of the week would you like that to arrive? So gotcha. People do have different behaviors. So like for our family, oftentimes Friday night is a night where we want to go out and do something. So we're probably not going to be cooking at home versus Monday, Tuesday. So these are all points of data that tell us things. And then of course, you also have your inputs that are your business drivers. What's your margin profile? What are you solving for in terms of order rates and attach rates for inventory velocity? So we have a very deep set of listening posts that go all the way through the entire customer journey.
And I'm guessing you craft that interaction and your understanding of the customer over the time, over their life cycle, as it were. So if I say I love Caribbean food, but I never really order it, then you probably can evolve what you're offering me.
Well, and that's one of the pieces that in today's marketing world is something that we're able to learn faster. We are all hearing about machine learning and AI. So being able to very quickly synthesize information around what people tell you versus what they do, you were able to capture a huge amount of information in a very short period of time from browse, click, purchase, review behaviors, repeat order rates. Those are all pieces that you have to then tie back to that individual customer in order to ensure that they're getting the most relevant food, the most relevant meals for their family. And that ultimately drives to higher retention, higher lifetime value, a happier customer for today, tomorrow, and the next day. And we certainly have to incorporate testing and learning within that. Sometimes you have a hypothesis. Oh, I think this person's really going to like, if they like Caribbean, maybe they're also really going to like Southern. But sometimes you find out, no, actually they wanted some Asian mixed in because they want more variety. No problem. We can do that for them.
Yeah. You know, as we engage with brands, it's funny to see how the evolution has gone so in terms of their customer understanding. And as you gain first party information and first party data, you're able to really curate that customer experience to be so positive. And, you know, it goes way beyond demographics, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great. Sorry, go ahead.
No, and I was just going to build on your point, because I think that that's the piece that is so exciting as a marketer, is that the rate of learning is going exponentially faster. To your point, long, long ago and far, far away, you started out with some pretty simplistic metrics, demographics, psychographics, how do those things intersect more at a household level. And now we are able to get down to an individual level across lots of different screens and lots of different engagement types. It's fun if you're a little junkie.
It's awesome. So you mentioned AI. That's a hot topic, real trend that we're seeing. How are you guys incorporating AI into your understanding of the customer and how you're managing the business?
So we, again, like most brands, are early on in our exploration. I think we are spending a lot of time in our R&D team really working on machine learning and different data models on the back end to help to continue to refine our understanding of what is most relevant to the customer. And of course, in all of your paid channels outside, it requires much more technical instrumentation in today's world for our growth marketing efforts and our direct marketing efforts to be as effective as possible. You're spending more time with your technology, your product management teams, because that data instrumentation continues to be more significant, because we have to feed the machine literally with the most relevant, most timely, most robust data sets in order to let the machine learning work as effectively as possible.
Sure. Well, you guys have an advantage in a lot of ways too, because as a mature brand with 11 years under your wheels, as it were, you have the opportunity to really have a better understanding of your customer than maybe an emerging brand.
Yes. Certainly some of the history and having that depth of customer file is useful. But I think that the other piece that is true regardless of life stage is the more that we as marketing leaders are unlocking the data around each of those customer engagement moments, then the faster that you can learn. Certainly for us at Blue Apron, we have the privilege and the luxury to be involved with, you know, what people are eating every single day. And no surprise, we all eat every single day. So Blue Apron is relevant 24/7 to our customers. And so that gives us many, many points of learning, points of engagement. So we are basically having that ongoing conversation with the customer day in and day out that gives us very fresh data in addition to all of the history. And ultimately, you do have the learning that comes from millions and millions of customers. But what truly matters is what I want to eat on any specific day. So what drives the business is the most relevant to that individual, but we try to take the learnings from the larger customer base, certainly to inform how we do the best job for each individual customer.
Got it. That's great. Thank you so much. Follow-up question. A minute ago, you mentioned paid channels and direct marketing. So let's pivot to acquisition for a second. You know, what are you seeing as trends in the acquisition space, and what, how are you approaching it at Blue Apron?
I think all of us are dealing with challenges in the paid space in that there has been inflation of our individual ad costs. We are all facing some of those challenges. So what that means for us certainly as Blue Apron is we are constantly thinking about testing and optimization. The importance of your conversion rate optimization learning stack and the speed at which you learn has never been more significant, especially as a public company. We have even more pressure in terms of the speed of learning versus sometimes when you are a private company, you can have a little more space to test and learn over a longer period of time. We absolutely have to be very, very sharp on that every single quarter to make sure that we're meeting the needs of all of our stakeholders and constituents.
Yeah, we've seen. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Go ahead.
That conversation is actually relevant to private companies too, because where the days of lots of VC to fund a direct-to-consumer business are past. You have to bootstrap, you have to be profitable, you have to be responsible financially in every channel that you're engaging. And I'm sorry I interrupted you before.
No, I completely agree with your point though. Everybody is, any marketing leader in today's world is only as good as the results that they are able to drive. The days of thinking about pure brand building in my world are kind of long gone. Brand has to be done with a performance orientation, and you have to be thinking
about
your brand investment for ultimately what is it doing to the business overall. And that's why I always refer to it as performance brand marketing. And so
got it. Well, that's a good way to look at it. I like that term.
And I think the other important piece that comes into your optimization is as we shift away from the ability to have last click, as cookies kind of fall by the wayside.
For sure.
This is where your testing methodology is so critically important. So it almost is coming full circle back to the old days of DMA level testing, holdout groups. These are things that we used to do all the time in TV and direct mail. And guess what? Now it applies in digital too.
You're back. Funny you say that because I'm engaged with two different brands, one kind of in a middle maturity and one at the young end. And we're trying to craft out essentially performance brand campaigns associated with geo-focused testing to be able to prove out and test incrementality for various brand actions. So performance brand marketing, it's kind of a nice turn of a phrase.
No new ideas. The good news and the bad news, there's no new ideas. However, the tools that are available to us from a marketing perspective and the tools that are available to us all to be able to learn are ever evolving, which is what makes it fun.
That's great. All right. Well, let's shift to you if that's okay. Why Blue Apron? You came on board last year. I know you've been really active in your role. Tell us about why you chose the company and kind of some of the stuff you've been, some of the initiatives at play right now for you.
I think first and foremost, of course, is an iconic brand that really makes a difference in people's lives. You know, the ability to impact people's eating behaviors and what you're doing in the comfort of your own home every day with your family, that's a privilege and that is unique. You can do a lot of things in your career, but being able to have such a personal impact on people's lives, I really think is an incredibly powerful and fun thing to do. And of course, who amongst us doesn't like to talk about a good meal? I get the privilege of being able to enjoy that all the time. Not that it's necessarily the best thing for the waistline, but it makes it a lot more fun when you can literally eat what you work on. So a really incredible opportunity, both professionally as well as personally. And of course, the ability, tremendous opportunity that I saw for the business. When you have such an iconic brand that is so well known and really stands for, you know, the meal kit category, I always see that as a tremendous asset to start with. And then how do you take that and take the business to the next level? So those are the sorts of opportunities that I really seek out and thoroughly enjoy.
Great. That's a good answer. Thank you. How about trends and some of the initiatives that you have at play at Blue Apron? I know you guys have always been so obsessively customer focused and trying to, you've used a couple times in this conversation, fast. What are some of the things that you're doing to help continue to make the brand better?
Yeah. So I think that one of the pieces that we are really seeing is, no surprise, people are constantly evolving how they think about their meals and their day, whether that is more people working from home. So lunch is really something that you're doing in your own kitchen versus someplace that you go out to that was near the office, but you still have some of those dynamics where they want it to be something that's quick and easy. So it opens up whole new opportunities for new product expansion, which is something that we are very excited about and spending a lot of time on. We have seen over the last few years, there has been a very direct correlation. We can measure it and see it, that as we add more variety to the menu, customer engagement increases, order rates increase, average order value increases, and lifetime value increases. So we see a direct correlation with menu expansion, adding more variety into our offerings, being something that our customers absolutely want and then continue to grow with us. So we really see that continuing to expand with the customer, they want Blue Apron to be a part of all the meals in their day.
All right. What are some of the marketing trends? Obviously, you mentioned AI, which is, you know, on the edge of everybody's mind. What are some of the other trends you see? What do you see happening in the marketing landscape over the next few years? How's the deprecation of the third-party cookie going to evolve? And what's on your mind in those spaces?
Well, certainly in real time, we are testing into all of the emerging channels. I don't think that any of us quite know the best way to leverage new emerging channels like TikTok and such, but that is always something that we are exploring and continuing to refine. What is the right marketing mix? How do each of these touch points play into your customer's day? Where are they going for inspiration around what to eat? That is ever evolving. We know that people love to look at pictures of food and cooking shows and watching when other people are playing with different recipes. So food is such a universal, which makes it really fun. But what are all the different ways that that comes to life? There's the balance between the brand and the performance aspect that is constantly evolving up and down the experience from your creative approach, because, like, for example, TikTok is much more casual than oftentimes the way you're going to approach a television spot. And it's appropriate for that medium, but that does put then new challenges on all of us as brand and creative. How do you make sure that you are communicating a way that is relevant, that is timely, that is appropriately placed within the right channel, and that is done in a cost-effective manner so that the brand and the performance metrics meet in the place you want them to.
Fascinating. All right. What would your advice be to a younger emerging brand or somebody trying to get one off the ground in the direct-to-consumer space today?
I think that certainly it is a highly competitive space to enter into the direct-to-consumer world from the ground up. So the best thing that you can do is really be ruthless about ensuring that you're measuring everything and also identifying as quickly as possible what are the critical metrics that matter to your next decision. So the challenge that all of us have is that we can kind of become lost in a sea of data. And that is always the first priority, is which of these things do I think matter the most? And then try to move that one metric. You can't impact everything at one time. And usually in startup mode, you're trying to throw lots of darts on the board and see which one's gonna actually stick.
Sure.
But you don't have any trend lines yet. So try to be very, very quick and don't obsess over each and every test being exactly perfect. Perfection is most likely going to kill you. You've got to be comfortable with taking some of those risks. Let it be a little rough. Think of it more as a proof of concept or a beta. Really embrace that language so that you can be comfortable with, give me some feedback here, customer. Am I getting this right? And the customer will let you know if you just give them the permission to listen.
Fantastic. Thank you. That's really good advice. I like that. What are some of the brands that inspire you today or that you follow with interest?
And why? That's a great question. It does certainly kind of cover the whole gamut. So I have a 15-year-old son. So certainly I am being exposed to things in fast fashion and some of the more experiential brands than I would have expected. And then, of course, you can never discount some of your very tried and true brands. I think we all look at a brand like, let's just say, Apple. Their consistency of execution every minute of every day and being so focused around customer experience. I always hold up an Apple store as kind of your mecca, because you think about the contrast of an Apple store experience to virtually any other retail experience that you have. They make the product and the product experience the hero. There is no extraneous messaging. There is no extraneous signage. There is nothing to distract from the product. And that's what makes that so unique and special. And we all kind of aspire to it because it's so easy to fall into a trap of, oh, well, let's just mention this. And by the time you've added in 10 more messages, the customers become overwhelmed and they can't hear any of it.
It's a really good point. I love that.
Discipline is sometimes the hardest thing.
And how do you refresh your batteries? What do you do to recharge yourself, Amber?
So long, long ago and far, far away, I thought I wanted to be a veterinarian.
Oh, wow.
And I actually did some time working as a vet's assistant and realized that not everyone loves the animals as much as I do.
Oh, really?
So to not be a veterinarian. And instead, my animals, we have a kind of a mini zoo, couple dogs, cat, horse, bird, the whole thing. So really the best thing that I do to recharge is oftentimes to not be anywhere near the computer. And in fact, when I'm riding a horse, I intentionally do not take my phone. And so there is always a moment within the day where I am literally off the grid and everybody knows it. And sometimes I find that that is the best way to clear my mind. And kind of, I come back with more clarity of, oh, this is what matters. I do find that it is sometimes more difficult to think clearly when you have Slack and email and all of the inputs coming at you at once. You can get a little lost in all the data. So sometimes for me, the best thing is to go take a long walk and completely disconnect. And then I come back much clearer.
I love it. You know, I hear that often. Was talking to a CMO at a large financial bank recently, and he said he does the exact same thing every day. He takes a 30-minute window, turns off his phone, turns off his computer, and goes out into nature.
I've even started to shift when I can. I've shifted a certain portion of my meetings to, we'll talk, but I'm going to be walking while we talk.
Oh, cool. So
that I do miss in being in a primarily, you know, remote situation where I used to make a lot of my meetings walking meetings. And in fact, when I go to New York for meetings in our headquarters, I will often try to say, okay, we're going to go walk a couple blocks. Let's go. And you take the whole idea of having the stand up and you kind of put it on steroids. Okay, we're going to talk and we come back, we're done. Good. It makes everybody feel better. You get a little bit of blood flow going. And it's also just nice to step away from the computer and just talk it out.
That's totally cool. All right. Well, just a couple more questions for you. What is one thing you would teach yourself of 20 years ago that you know today that would make your world, that you wish you'd known then, let's say it that way?
So, gonna say it, I am more than a little bit type A, guilty as charged, and it's not gonna go away. And that definitely impacted, I think, me in a very real way. When I was younger, I was that kid that was straight honors, straight A's, all those things, very, very type A. Everything was gonna be done right. And it took me a while to be comfortable with not everything's going to work. So I found that when I started, I was much more concerned about each test being perfect. And if you test didn't work as expected, that was quote failure. And the more comfortable you can be with, it's okay if it fails, and treat it as the learning. That's a little bit hard though, I think, when you're early on in your career, because you get nervous that, oh God, it failed.
Yes. What did I do wrong? What's wrong with me?
Exactly. And that is such an important thing, to be comfortable with failure and not think of it as failure. But I do understand how it's really, really hard when you are just starting out, because you take each one of those projects as a critical reflection of your success in your job and the work that you're doing. And it's so difficult because many of us, being type A and being very results oriented and being very driven for success, those are in so many parts of our lives, you know, seen as a successful trait. But how do you harness that in a way that doesn't kind of kill you with a desire for making everything perfect is a tough lesson to learn. And how do you get there sooner? I don't yet have that answer.
That's awesome. All right. Well, if somebody wants to get hold of you, how can they do it?
I'm on LinkedIn. Please feel free to reach out to me. Always love talking marketing with other marketers like yourself, Marcus. So thank you so much.
Well, Amber, I want to thank you. You've been so generous with your time. I've really enjoyed getting to know you better and really enjoyed today's conversation.
Have a good day.
Thank you so much. You've been listening to Directly Speaking, and I hope you guys enjoyed the content as much as I did and enjoyed getting to know Amber a little bit better. Until next time, keep on marketing. Take care.